Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text 10. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It's a well-known verse. Those of you who know it can chant line by line after me. Prayenalpayasa sabhya kalavasmin yuge janaha manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya hi upadrutaha. Translation. O learned one, in this iron age of Kali, men have but short lives. They are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. Purport. The devotees of the Lord are always anxious for the spiritual improvement of the general public. When the sages of Naimisharanya analyzed the state of affairs of the people in this age of Kali, they foresaw that men would live short lives. In Kali Yuga, the duration of life is shortened not so much because of insufficient food, but because of irregular habits. By keeping regular habits and eating sinful food, any man can maintain his health. Overeating, over-sense gratification, over-dependence on another's mercy, and artificial standards of living sap the very vitality of human energy. Therefore, the duration of life is shortened. The people of this age are also very lazy, not only materially, but in the matter of self-realization. The human life is especially meant for self-realization. That is to say, man should come to know what he is, what the world is, and what the supreme truth is. Human life is a means by which the living entity can end all the miseries of the hard struggle for life in material existence, and by which he can return to Godhead, his eternal home. But due to a bad system of education, men have no desire for self-realization. Even if they come to know about it, they, unfortunately, become victims of misguided teachers. In this age, men are victims not only of different political creeds and parties, but also of many different types of sense-gratificatory diversions, such as cinemas, sports, gambling, clubs, mundane libraries, bad associations, smoking, drinking, cheating, pilfering, hankerings, and so on. Their minds are always disturbed and full of miseries due to so many different engagements. In this age, many unscrupulous men manufacture their own religious faiths, which are not based on any revealed scriptures. And very often people who are addicted to sense gratification are attracted by such institutions. Consequently, in the name of religion, so many sinful acts are being carried on that the people in general have neither peace of mind nor health of body. The student brahmachari communities are no longer being maintained, and householders do not observe the rules and regulations of the grihastha ashrama. Consequently, the so-called vanaprastas and sannyasis who come out of such grihastha ashrams are easily deviated from the rigid path. In the Kali Yuga, the whole atmosphere is surcharged with faithlessness. Men are no longer interested in spiritual values. Material sense gratification is the standard of civilization. For the maintenance of such material civilizations, man has formed complex nations and communities, and there is a constant strain of lust, of hot and cold wars between these different groups. It has become very difficult, therefore, to raise the spiritual standard due to the present distorted values of human society. The sages of Naimisharanya are anxious to disentangle all fallen souls, and here they are seeking the remedy from Srila Sutta Goswami. Prayanalpayusha sabhya kalavasmin yuge janaha Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagha hi upadrutaha. O learned one, in this iron age of Kali, men have but short lives. They are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtham Manamapi Shakti Putramatra Swarupam Rupam Tasya Gajam Urupurim Mathurim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Parikamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagraja Tam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This verse, which I just read with the translation, this is a record of what was spoken some 5,000 years ago by great saintly persons who could see the future. How could they see the future? By seeing the past. How could they see the past? Through narrations such as these, through shastra. Shastra means scripture. It's not exactly scripture in like the Bible, but it is a record of all the affairs of the universe, past, present, and future, and knowledge of the whole situation of the universe and of universes beyond. Of this, most importantly, of the spiritual world and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who presides over the spiritual world. So these were greatly learned persons, and they had knowledge of the past, which means knowledge of the future, because, as we understand from this Vedic evidence, that the past is the future and the future is the past, inasmuch as time runs in great cycles. Just like here we have on this planet, we have spring, summer, autumn, fall, and winter. And then again, spring, summer, fall, winter. It's a predictable pattern. So in universal time also, there are great cosmic cycles. And knowledge of that is given in this scripture. So 5,000 years ago was the juncture between the previous age and the present age, which is called Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel and hypocrisy, in which the holy people who made this statement, even though they were not living in that time, they could see the time is just coming because it's already come so many times. Just like now this, we know the summer, it's summertime, but we know that within a short time that already the days are getting shorter, and that's a sign that gradually the weather will get colder, the leaves will fall from the trees, and then it'll be very cold and it'll be winter again. But then we know that after that there'll be spring and again summer. So at that time, there was the symptoms of Kali Yuga were beginning to manifest. The symptoms of a rapid deterioration in qualities of human beings. So the sages who made this prediction, they listed here a few of the general qualities of Kali Yuga, that people have short lives, because previously people used to live much longer. If someone lives to 100 years, that's something exceptional in the modern age, but previously people lived much longer lives, up to or even beyond 1,000 years. And in ages even further in the past or further in the future, people lived up to 10,000 years or even 100,000 years. And we find in ancient records also, even in the Bible, we find in the Old Testament, we find people who are said to live for some hundreds of years. And there are such records all over the world in ancient literature, which is nowadays considered prehistoric by people who don't actually know the history, because they think civilization started in Greece some, what do they call it now, 3,000 years ago or something like this. But actually they're very great, even though there's evidence all over the world of advanced civilization, but somehow they miss it. Just like, How did they build the pyramids? No one knows. But they must have had some technology, but somehow they're all supposed to have been savages. So people have short lives. That's one symptom of Kali Yuga. Then they are misguided, unlucky. Words are given short lives. They're quarrelsome. Yeah, that is a prime symptom of Kali Yuga. Kali, Kalaha. Kalaha means quarrel. So that is a major symptom of, or maybe the prime symptom of Kali Yuga. Short lives, quarrelsome, misguided, unlucky, and above all, their minds are always disturbed. Srila Prabhupada gave us a summary of these symptoms in his purport, which I just read. Srila Prabhupada wrote this when he was living in India in the early 1960s. Now, from today's perspective, if we look at India in the 1960s, we'll think, well, it was much more peaceful and traditional and things were much better. But from at that time, compared to what was previously, it was much worse. I didn't read it myself, but I was told by one of my godbrothers, he had read a translation of some writings by Vedanta Deshika, who was a very... until the influence of Kali Yuga had become so strong, he was well known in spiritual circles in India as being one of the greatest teachers in modern times. When we say modern times, it means a few hundred years ago, because if you have time spans of... When you know that time spans are going in huge cycles, then the last few hundred years is modern. Modern doesn't mean since the year 2000, but it means the last few hundred years. So Vedanta Deshika, he recorded from South India. He was his temple there is still in Kanchi, South India. So visiting Varanasi, which is a very ancient city of great culture in North India, and he was lamenting how the culture had so much degraded there. But if from our vantage point, if we were to go there at that time, several hundred years ago to Varanasi, we think, oh, such high culture, how it's all been lost. So it's a progressive deterioration. The symptoms of Kali Yuga are described in more detail in the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is only the 10th verse of 18,000 verses that I just read now. And in many other Vedic accounts, different Puranas, and there are accounts of Kali Yuga, more details. There's one whole chapter which begins, Tatas chanudinam dharma satyam socham shamadaya kalena balina rajan nangshantayor balang smritihi. In which Shukadev Goswami tells Parikshit, the king, O king, in Kali Yuga, with the passing of every single day, all these things will decline. And he mentions some of them. All of them, all these good qualities will decline. Dharma, which is sometimes translated as religion, religiosity, sense of properness, sense of harmony with the universe, so that will decline. Truthfulness will decline. Cleanliness will decline. Cleanliness, there's internal, external. Tolerance. That people will not, even little disturbance. If it's a little bit cold, people get too very disturbed. A little bit hot, people get disturbed. If they're stuck in a traffic jam, they just can't tolerate it. So tolerance will decline day by day. Mercy will decline day by day. How is that? By the mighty influence of time. Kalena balena rajan nangsha. Lifespan will decline. So now it's a very common thing. People get some disease, cancer at the age of 22 or something. And just some disease, this disease, that disease, and they die very early. Bodily strength and mental capacity also decreases. So all this, so of course we see there are many intelligent people. But in general, people are stupid. I'm not saying that in just to insult, but it's a fact. Otherwise, I mean, for instance, why is baseball so popular? It's stupid, isn't it? I mean, it's just there's a ball and a bat and people run around and rah! And what is the purpose of human life? No one thinks. Some movie comes on, some Batman, Spider-Man. I guess it's one year it's Batman, the next year it's Spider-Man. I guess I'll have Superman again. It's just imagination, nonsense. Anyway, I don't have to go into great detail. People are stupid. But there's some people are intelligent, and they're saying, very intelligent. Silicon Valley, very intelligent. But what are they using their intelligence for? Simply to make some arrangement by which people can live in this world in a more complicated way without any thought of what is the actual purpose of life. This is lack of intelligence. People that we think they're very intelligent, writes so many books and is good at, on a TV talk show, they can shoot back. Or someone's very intelligent, they invent some new computer application. Intelligent, maybe, yeah, in some way, but stupid. Because what is the purpose of life? Who are we? Why are we here? What happens after death? Why are we suffering in this world? The whole society is so foolish because they just go on and on and on making more and more arrangements for trying to enjoy in this world and without seeing that everyone is miserable. The whole society, everyone is full of stress. The more we increase our materialistic, making more and more objects, more and more inventions, and we're supposed to be happy, but no one's happy. For all our baseball and our computer chips, and no one's happy. So people, and even materially, we have this idea that people are so intelligent, but we have record in these books that we are reading that previously people didn't have books. So you think, oh, they must have been stupid because they didn't have books. But no, they didn't have books because they weren't, because we are stupid, we need books. They were stupid, they didn't need books because they would just remember whatever they heard. But we're stupid because we can't remember anything. We have to read it 50 times and then we maybe remember something. And even then we mess it all up. So previously there were not books, not because people were not intelligent, but because they were more intelligent. So in this purport, I mean, we only have 1 hour, or now only half an hour, but Srila Prabhupada sitting in India at that time, we can see how he also, being empowered by Krishna, he had such insights that what he has written here is completely relevant to society today. Here in California, in the good year of the Lord, 2012, Srila Prabhupada, who was more than 50 years ago, writing these books in sitting in Vrindavan in India, you might say it's a different era, it's a different culture, but what Srila Prabhupada writes is completely relevant to the world today, because he's also seeing the whole situation with the eye of realized spiritual knowledge. So what he has written is completely relevant. And if we fast forward a few million years to the next Kali Yuga, we'll find it's also completely true. The first paragraph, Srila Prabhupada, commenting on the verse, which prayan alpayusha sabhya. Mostly, this means that mostly in Kali Yuga, people have very short lives. So Srila Prabhupada comments why people have short lives. People in the modern age are very concerned to have a long life. What do we have to do to prolong our life? What kind of exercises and food and everything we have? People are very concerned about that. So Srila Prabhupada, with the eye of realized knowledge, he writes that, the first thing he writes is that the sages of Naimisharanya, they're asking this. They're asking this to a more senior and learned sage. They may have themselves have known the answer, but they're asking the question for the benefit of others. And even though they may know the answer, by hearing from a learned, realized person, they get more realization about it themselves. So being concerned with the highly unfortunate position of the people of this age, the sages are asking another senior sage about the position in Kali Yuga and what is to be done about it. It's not simply that we criticize, but we see the problem and then what is to be done. So Srila Prabhupada writes that duration of life is shortened not so much because of insufficient food, it's not that people are starving, but because of irregular habits. Which is very much a feature of modern life, that people, the natural, or we can say what's normal in traditional societies, which they follow a pattern cycled on the rising and the setting of the sun. The working time is during the daytime. The nighttime is not meant for working. The gift of electricity is that we have more facility to work 24 hours a day. So now people work all through the night, which is there's no need actually. People never have used to do that. But now we're more advanced. We have more facilities so we can work day and night. Whereas previously, working time means in the day only. There's no question of working at night. They may say, well, they didn't have so much facility. But as I've seen myself, I lived for several years in Bangladesh before electricity, the gift of electricity spread throughout the country. So it's not that people didn't do anything, but mostly they'd engage in religious activities after dark. And during the daytime they'd work in the field or whatever. And at night, people would come together and chant Hare Krishna, discuss about Krishna. And not with this frantic, I have to fill up every second, live life to the max. But regular habits. When the sun is high in the sky, it's time to eat. That's all. Not that just whenever you can fit it in, just rush out and buy something. I remember this a few years ago in Seattle area. Some students in the apartment next door, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, banging the door. I'm going out to get some food. I said, what is that? You're going out at night to buy some food. So is that an advantage for human society that someone's up running some cafe or whatever at 1 o'clock in the morning? So what's the need? What's the point? At 1 o'clock in the morning, you sleep. No, but now people don't. They're irregular. The great facility that you can live whenever you like, however you like, but the result is that people's whole life rhythms become disturbed, and then their minds become disturbed, and their body becomes disturbed, and their life is shortened. And actually, they don't really have any life, because what their so-called life is all lost to the pursuit of pleasure, so-called pleasure. They don't have any life. They don't have any spiritual life. They don't have any purpose to life except to enjoy their body and their mind. So this shortens the life. Irregular habits. By eating simple food and by keeping regular habits and eating simple food, then any man can maintain his health. Overeating, over sense gratification, that is maybe the most prominent symptom of modern society. The idea that, well, we have our senses. We see, touch, taste, smell, feel. So we should bombard our senses all the time with all kind of stimuli so that we're always seeing something nice or trying to make our bodies look nice or touch sensation for sexual contact. Hearing all the time, we should hear something all the time, stimulation of the senses. But this overstimulation of the sense, all the time there should be something on the tongue. There are meals, and then in between there's bubble gum or some drink, coffee, coke, some, all the time, cigarettes, all the time there should be something for my tongue, some gratification. All the time there should be something to jerk up my adrenaline level. But the result of this is people do not become happy. They become overstimulated, full of anxiety, and ultimately burned out. And if physical and mental health is destroyed by over-sense gratification, over-dependence on another's mercy. Well, so much could be said about this. In the modern age, everyone thinks, if you have to live, you have to get a job. But that means you're dependent on someone else. You can be working in a job for 20 years, and then one morning they say, goodbye. They don't even say it was nice knowing you. You're out on the street, that's all. So you're dependent on another's mercy. But in traditional society, people who are cultivating higher values, they don't become dependent on another's mercy. The Brahmin class, they will live very simply and contribute to human society by their knowledge. And knowledge was not something to be sold. You have to, in the modern age, you have to pay for education. But as soon as you pay for education, the whole it becomes a business transaction, and actual knowledge cannot be transmitted like that. Real knowledge means knowledge of the self, knowledge of the soul, knowledge of our existential position, knowledge of God. This is real knowledge. That is sacred. It's not something to be sold. But in the modern age, education means tools that one gets that qualifies one to work for someone else to get some money so you can eat and sleep and have a car and all this kind of stuff. Basically, so we think we need this knowledge to exist, and that's called knowledge. But actually, real knowledge is sacred and is not something to be traded. So the Brahmanas live very simply. They give knowledge, and out of genuine gratefulness, people maintain them, but they don't take more than they need for maintenance. That's actual civilization. And there's also the administrative class. They're also not beggars, just like I see all around this area, people begging for votes. Vote me, vote for me. But those who are actual leaders of society, they lead by their abilities and qualities. They don't have to beg votes. The politicians, they promise people, we will provide for you more facilities so you can enjoy yourself. But a real leader knows what the value of life is, that human life is not meant simply for titillating the senses. Human life has a more noble purpose. So in a traditional society, particularly the Vedic society, such persons, they don't go begging, give me your vote, but they're natural leaders who, they're trained as such from the beginning. And people accept that leadership because they're competent to do so. And the Vaishya class also, they produce food. They're also small independent farms, not agro-business, agri-business, not like that. So anyway, that's a whole topic, how dependence on another's mercy. People are over-dependence. People are insecure. They don't know at any time. You have a job, any time you may be thrown out, the company may collapse. There's no sense of security. No one cares. People in America especially, there's this idea everyone is free, but so much freedom means no one cares for anyone else. You're free means you're on your own. You have no one else to care for you or look after you. It's your own struggle. So too much so-called freedom, that's also not help, that it doesn't help anyone to even materially, that everyone's on their own. So better is interdependency, which means you have to sacrifice some of your freedom. and take responsibility for us. So much freedom, you don't take responsibility for anyone and no one cares for you. And you're just on your own. So all these are symptoms of Kali Yuga, which Srila Prabhupada has... There's no time now. It would be maybe some hours to discuss all these things in more... There's no end. I mean, just pick up a newspaper. And that may be full of lies, but at least it gives some idea of the suffering, the condition of suffering that is just normal in this world. Newspaper means they tell you about all the suffering and then all the fantasies to forget the suffering, like that baseball, cinema, some Hollywood actress gets married for the seventh time, and it's the great news of what? So it's one side suffering, another side fantasy, and lies all the way through. That's called a newspaper. So this is the Kali Yuga Purana. It's an old story. Purana means old. It's old. It's not news. It's old, in as much as it's all predictable. So that's the bad news. And what's the real good news? Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The same sages who could see the degradation of human society that was imminent, they also know that there is a cure for this. There is a way out of it all to slash through all the complexity and hypocrisy and confusion and illusion, chanting the holy names of Krishna. Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and gives this simple process of God realization, chanting the holy names of Krishna. So if we can kindly turn off our cell phones and... That's another symptom of Kali Yuga. Artificial necessity of life. We need money because we need our cell phone. You have to pay the bill for the cell. Another artificial necessity. We cannot believe nowadays that... Can you imagine people lived up to 20 years ago, people didn't have cell phones. How could they exist? How is it possible? How is it possible to live without a cell phone? Artificial necessity. So chant Hare Krishna. This cuts through all the complexity. But even in the chanting of Hare Krishna, we have to be very, very careful to keep out the effect of Kali Yuga. Even in the even that, because people have hypocrisy, they can... In the name of chanting Hare Krishna, they can mislead people also, or people because they find it very difficult to put faith in anything because they've been cheated in so many ways, or they have some fanatical attachment to something which they call religion, which makes no sense whatsoever. Some very strange ideas which are called religion. So... if we can take to this chanting of Hare Krishna and be free as far as possible from this terrible influence of the age of quarrel and hypocrisy which swallows up and destroys people's lives and the whole society, then we can be free from this influence of Kali Yuga which makes everyone miserable, and go to the spiritual world. And that's a formula for everyone, and everyone can take to it. Everyone should take to it. Unfortunately, not so many people are taking to it, but we should go on trying to distribute that knowledge, actual knowledge of spiritual life. Spiritual life means to know who we are, who is God, what is our relationship with Him. So this knowledge should be cultivated, propagated, along with the chanting of the holy names. A joyful process of becoming free from the influence of Kali Yuga. So I guess is there a clock? Yeah, so there's 15 minutes of my allotted time. So if there are any questions, comments, please shoot away.
Maharaj, you spoke about the malefic effects of Kali Yuga.
How bad is Kali Yuga? I spoke something about it, yeah.
Every Kali Yuga has these symptoms, but in this Kali Yuga, which is a very special Kali Yuga.
This is a special Kali Yuga, yes, because Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared in this Kali Yuga.
So in your opinion, what symptoms are there that are different? How the followers of Mahaprabhu and all the acharyas who have spread Krishna consciousness to counteract the effects of Kali Yuga, how has that changed the symptoms of this age?
How has that changed the symptoms of this age, the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the acharyas and all the devotees who have come in that time? Well, many people have gone back to Godhead, which doesn't happen in most Kali Yugas. There are saintly people. This here in Berkeley, Srila Prabhupada came here. So many people have participated in the festivals and the chanting of Hare Krishna. That's a great thing. We may think it's something small, and yeah, from the ordinary perspective, the Hare Krishna movement is quite small, but for even one person to go back to Godhead is a very great thing. Manushanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhiye yatitam api siddhanam kaschin mang veti tatvataha. Even in the best of times, Krishna says, hardly anyone's interested in genuine spiritual life. And of those who even become advanced in spiritual life, very few of them really understand Krishna. But by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, people are going back to Godhead. So that's a very great thing. I'm chanting Hare Krishna somehow or other. You're chanting Hare Krishna. That's something remarkable, that in this dark age of Kali, people are chanting Hare Krishna. Yes, please.
You mentioned about the future. This is pure physics, okay? The time always goes forward. That's why we cannot see the future. If the time goes backward, yes, we can see the future. It is possible, but we don't have the resources. In the future, we will do that. That's pure physics. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Go forward, go back. Better go. Instead of going forward in time and back in time, better get out of this material world altogether. If you go forward in time, by your advancement of science, you'll find, what do you expect to find? You'll find birth, death, old age, and disease. And if you go back in time, you'll find birth, death, old age, and disease. Get out of this world, go to the place where there's no birth, death, old age, and disease. That's metaphysics. That's better. Chant Hare Krishna, get out of this place. Scientific advancement, time travel, what's the use? Just go to another place where there's birth, death, old age, and disease. What's the point? Scientific advancement. Go to Mars. And what will you find on Mars? Birth, death, old age, and disease. That's all. Yes, you wanted to say something?
You mentioned the way out of, or the solution to symptoms of Kali Yuga is chanting the holy name.
Chanting
the importance of being careful not to let the influence of Kali Yuga into your chant. Right, and that, I'm watching that, you know, the kirtan spreads very popularly, but it spreads in a way that is a full symptom of Kali Yuga.
Yeah, kirtan should be protected from the disciples of Kali Yuga.
Yeah, it's by concert, it's by payment, it's career.
That's not kirtan. That is not kirtan. Kirtan means to glorify Krishna. It is not, just like knowledge is not a saleable item. So kirtan is not a saleable item. Knowledge is not for boosting one's prestige or one's sex appeal. So kirtan is also not meant for that. So, but that is typical of Kali Yuga, that the disciples of Kali Yuga, they take what is meant for the Paramahamsas and repackage it for their own sense gratification. This one book I compiled of this Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav gives, I deliberately, while I was making this book, several devotees asked me why I'm going into such detail describing all these upper sampradayas or misrepresentatives of the pure culture of Krishna consciousness. And but I had a purpose because such upper sampradayas, it's not just in Bengal in a certain time, but as kirtan culture spreads, then Kali gets more busy also and sends his representatives to mislead people in the name of Krishna consciousness. So it's something we can expect. And then the acharya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they come, and that becomes their duty to expose the purveyors of the holy name, or those who want to make a business out of it. And those who are sincere will recognize that and take it, and others will be cheated. Cheating is a typical symptom of Kali Yuga. It's institutionalized in modern life. Cheating, we just expect, it's just normal and respectable. The whole advertising industry is cheating. That's all. They represent something to be what it's not. You don't, if you really needed something, it wouldn't need advertising, right? If you need something, then you don't have to be convinced to buy it. But they convince you in the most, they convince you not even in an intelligent way. They don't list, if you want to list, here are the qualities of Coca-Cola by which you should buy it. And what would they say? There's no single quality. So then they just make some hype. So, and that's another, that demonstrates another symptom of Kali Yuga, that people are stupid because they wouldn't succumb to advertising if they had any intelligence. Because they should know that they're advertising this, not, they're saying you will be benefited by buying it, but you should know they don't give a damn for your benefit, they want your money. And that's the whole advertising industry. And everyone knows, but it's very respectable. You see, it's making money, it's business, 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 business. Very well. So cheating, and then the education system is just training people to become pawns in a game that someone else is playing. And you think, oh, now I got a good education. And it's being cheated. And then the whole mass media, news means what they want you to believe. So these are all symptoms of Kali Yuga. One can become intelligent by chanting Hare Krishna and reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Yeah. So anything else? There may be so many things to say. Please.
How I can purify myself.
How you can purify yourself. Too difficult, yeah. Well, we are very weak. We can't... Sometimes we say like that, we can purify ourselves, but really, we are very weak. But we can pray for the mercy of Krishna. Krishna can help us. Daivihi esha guna mai mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. We are very small. Maya... Our illusion is very strong. But Krishna is much stronger than Maya. So if we call for Krishna's help, Krishna can help us. We are very weak, that's a fact. But if we have faith in this process, go on chanting Hare Krishna, go on taking Krishna Prasad, try to serve Krishna in whatever capacity we can, then despite our weakness, Krishna will appreciate that. We may have to struggle our whole life with our crazy mind. But if we keep on serving Krishna, Krishna will appreciate that, despite our inabilities. So Krishna will appreciate it, and Krishna will help us. Keep good association. That's also very important. Yeah, anything else? Yeah. Yes, please. Hare Krishna.
They said that there is no fast rules in as far as chanting the Holy Name is concerned.
I didn't say that in this lecture, but yeah, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said
but,
that.
But at the same time, there are also
There are many rules, yeah. Well, there are no Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said there are no hard and fast rules for chanting, but then there are many rules. No meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, and many sub-rules also. Don't show your back to the deity. Don't eat food not offered to Krishna. There are many rules. So that statement comes in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's famous Shikshashtaka, in which that in the last chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that's dedicated to the Shikshashtaka. So there are some explanations of those Sanskrit verses which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, his essential teachings. So some more indication of that particular no rules and regulations is given in a verse recorded in Bengali, Kayate Shuete Jota Tota Nama Loi Desha Kala Niyam Nahi Sarva Siddhi Hoy. That in the matter of eating, or even when eating or sleeping, in any circumstance, if one chants the holy name, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, one can achieve all perfection. So this is in contradistinction to that of the Vedic yagyas. Sankirtan is a yagya, which is translated as sacrifice. So in a Vedic yagya, there are very strict rules. You can't eat while performing a yagya. You can't lie down while performing a yagya. And generally one doesn't do that while chanting the holy names either. But even in that situation, if one sincerely chants, then one can achieve all perfection. But there are many rules also to help us to come to the perfectional stage of chanting. Such as, like that don't eat food offered, that's not offered to Krishna, food that is cooked by non-devotees. Because, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, that will contaminate the consciousness. So that even while we're chanting, in the beginning stages of chanting, we have many mental disturbances or many impressions of sense gratification in our mind. So it's a gradual purificatory process. And these rules and regulations, they help to purify us. We can chant in any situation, but if you follow the rules, that will help to purify us very quickly. And if we don't follow the rules, it means we're not very serious to be purified. But for a fully perfect devotee, they can chant Hare Krishna in any circumstance. And an example is given in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita of one great devotee who's called Kalidas, who used to play dice and chant, but that's not recommended for everyone. Ramananda Rai was a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He would dress and young girls and train them for dancing. Now, in the modern age, no one thinks anything of that, but in any actual civilization, cultured persons, what to speak of spiritual aspirants, they don't mix intimately with beautiful young women and bathe them and decorate their bodies. But he was able to do so. Well, cultured people don't do that because that excites the sexual urge, which overwhelms the pure spiritual consciousness. But Ramananda Rai was able to do that because he was so much, he overrode all the rules and regulations because he was so much absorbed in spiritual consciousness.
Prabhu, may I add to this, please?
Something from the world of physics.
Yeah.
You're a great, great physics teacher.
Millions of years before Krishna built this body, the food we are eating now is not that food that he made for us, you know. Basically the same thing, but the research is done recently. So the thing came, why we are getting the heart attacks? One heart attack, then again, or the block, one artery block, another artery block. So scientists say we did this.
Yeah, okay.
Something with the food, you know.
So it's something in the food. So if you get a heart attack, chant Hare Krishna. Yeah. That's our best advice. And if you go on like this more and more, we might get a heart attack. Maybe you'll get a heart attack. Oh, I don't want to curse you.
Three kinds of fruits, berries, and one bunch of the dried fruits, okay?
Hare Krishna!
And
thank you very much.
That's
Hare Krishna!
And it guarantees you no heart attack, no blood pressure, nothing. Written in the stone.
Very good. Will you not die?
That's the latest wish of this
research. Okay.
In the medicine field. So
okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. We have something from the world of physics and biology. Hare Krishna. Yes, please.
I just want to ask a question. Why are we here if everything is bad?
Why are we here if everything is bad? Yeah, that's a good question. Why are we here if everything is bad in this world? Why is Krishna doing this to us? Well, why do I don't know, yeah. Why are you here? That's a good question. Why are you here? We should be in the spiritual world with Krishna, right? We should serve Krishna in the spiritual world. If you want to go there and serve Krishna, you can go. You don't have to stay here. We're here because we want to be here, because we don't want to be with Krishna. It's our own bad choice, but we can make a good choice and go to Krishna. Krishna doesn't want us to be here. He comes here and now says, come to be with me. We don't have to be here. It's our choice. Yeah, then one more thing and I'll finish because... Oh, we're already over time.
Guru Maharaj, you mentioned in the lecture that everyone is dependent and that deteriorates the living being. He's dependent on his job. His boss can fire
him. Over-dependent on someone else's mercy,
we're over-dependent on our cars, petroleum. We're over-dependent on grocery stores. We have to go to the grocery store for food. So in all these ways, we're dependent on electricity. The power grid goes down, chaos. So my question is, a lot of people, though, they're entangled in family life. They have family, kids, they have to support their mouths to feed. And they may not want to be in such a situation, a dependent situation, but they may feel helpless. And my question is, what advice would you give to such people who wanted to extricate themselves out from that?
You want to extricate yourself from that situation of being locked into modern society. It might be very difficult to do so, but we can advise people to chant Hare Krishna. So at least... psychically, they can be released from that situation. And if you really want to be bold, the best advice is get out of the city, live in the country, grow your own food, and don't have a cell phone, a car, and this and that. Just live very simply. Don't have money. Don't need money. Money is an artificial necessity. If you're really bold, you can do that also. So we'll finish there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.